Lessons from the Lev. Parshas Vayetze. I want to dedicate this year to my grandfather's yahrzeit, which I know is next week, but unfortunately I will be going to America very soon from now. My cab is actually waiting outside. No. Soon. And I don't know what will be happening next week. And whenever I have a live shiur, I like to dedicate the Torah that we're learning from my grandfather, Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Nachman Dov. Jacob I. Hartstein, Dr. Jacob I. Hartstein, my grandfather, who was one of the founders of Yeshiva University, is one of the integral people who made Yeshiva College into a university, which has had great, great effect, obviously, on the many, many of your Rebbeim, and many people in the world, of course. And he was somebody who symbolizes something that I'll speak about today. This idea of, we call Torah Mada, in Israel we call Torah Ve'avoda, this idea that you have to be part of the world. And then the greatest gift the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us is that he wants us to be part of the world. And I'll be quoting a bit of a shasheret, because I love, my Rebbe has one sefer, he had a number of svarim, but one sefer I cherish so much, and that's the sefer on Chumash, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's Warmth and the Light, which unfortunately is only on Bereishis and Shmos. I actually spoke to the person who wrote the sefer. I don't know why they've never published more of it. They have the Torah there. And the beautiful, beautiful ideas that they chose from his Hashkafa Shurim. Rav Aaron's Hashkafa Shurim, Baruch Hashem, even when I was in Shir, Thursdays, we had a very small Shir. There was like 8 guys in Shir. When we had Hashkafa Shurim on Thursday, Rav Aaron discussed everything. And that was back in the days where you didn't have to be politically correct. Some of the things that he said, wow, they would not be going on Y.U. Torah, let's put it that way. And he just said it like it was, and then dozens and dozens of people would come into Shir. And Rav Aaron was very well known, besides his great goyness when it came to learning Gemara and Halacha, this great schus of having smicha from him, which is a shasheret because it came from my father, who convinced me to go to the shir, and obviously my grandfather, who obviously knew Rav Soloveitchik and knew Rav Yossi Dov Soloveitchik as well, moderated lectures with him. And this idea is something that's been bothering me very, very much. Because, as I told you, I'm going to America. This is a machla that's not an American machla, but I'm going to go to America more than other places, although I see it here as well. And that is COVID. So when we're here in Yeshiva, you guys don't really know so much from COVID, except if, like, you know, Saturday night you have to go out, and then, like, you go into a place, and they're like, oh, you just put your mask on. You're like, oh, in Yeshiva, we don't, what do you mean? What's masks? I've never heard of masks. So masks are a thing still in Israel. I don't know if you know that. Maybe not so much, or whatever, but it is a thing. And yes, I realize that COVID's still, you know, around, and only the Rebbeinu Shalom knows, God forbid, lo aleinu, if there'll be another wave. I don't know. But for the foreseeable future right now, it seems like things are, Baruch Hashem, going back to normal. And I am very offended, I'm being serious now, by the people who want to continue their minyanim, their outdoor minyanim, because they've figured out a kunz. They figured out a way around real shul. Right? And when shul in America can take 2.5 hours, they all of a sudden say, oh, wow, I could do shul in 1 hour and 15 minutes. And I don't even start at nishmas. Right? Real thing. And I will stand outside in America now. It's like in the mornings, in the low 40s, right? High 30s. I'll stand outside. I don't care. And I was part of that when it was necessary. And Baruch Hashem, some great outdoor minyanim literally saved my spiritual life. Because no shul would let me in during COVID, because I was from Israel. Ah. And none of the shul, there was one shul specifically, which my sister actually davens in, where they actually wrote on their thing, nobody's allowed unless they have this, that, COVID, especially if you're from Israel. Chutzpah. I want to bar that rabbi from coming into my country because of what he said. But okay, anyway, I don't have that power. But anyway, so I get it. But on the other hand, I think that we missed the connection to shuls. I think we miss the connection to coming back to yeshivas, coming back to learning, coming back to people's regular scheduled program. And yes, Zoom is fine, and please don't get me wrong. I'm not speaking medically if somebody really has to be out, right? And Zoom has been an amazing thing. Because of that, I'm able to listen to my Rebbe Rav Savalovsky Shurim, the morning kol, I'm able to do. It's amazing. But there are people who are being lazy because of it. We know that going to a live shiur is much different than a Zoom shiur, because you know how it is. I gave a few Zoom shiurim last year. I don't want to make fun of anybody here, but you know who you are. It was the worst shiurim I ever gave. guys weren't paying attention, especially in the beginning. You don't even remember the beginning ones, where it was like all the classes, everybody was together, all the different doors. Oh my God, it was terrible. You see the guys, they're in front of you. You see them. You see what they're doing, but because they're not in front of you, they have no busha. They're all on their phones. It's not easy. It's getting to our parsha after this 5-minute break. So Rav Aaron points out, and I think a lot more about this, as they just commemorated the Shloshim for Rabbi Tendler. Rabbi Tendler was very into speaking out Midrashim. He thought that that was like the ultimate, right? We have, of course, our Mefarshim, but he felt that Midrashim was so very important, especially Midrash Rabbah, right? And he gave a shiur on it. And so I've heard a number of Rabbeim who have spoken in the name of Rabbi Tendler said this idea. Rabbi Baum, for example, from Keter Torah. So he was speaking a few weeks ago when I was in America, and he said that he once gave a drush and Rabbi Tendler was there, and he's so scared. He goes, he gave me plenty of pointers. But one of the things he said, I love that you quoted a Medrash. And this will be all based on a Medrash, and it's amazing how the Medrash Rabbah speaks about this. So we know the story, right? Yaakov Avinu has the dream. The ladder, right? We know the whole thing. And there's a vivid picture of his experience in Haran. He now comes to Haran, and he sees something very, very strange. There are three flocks of sheep are lying down, and all the flocks are gathered. The shepherds are hanging out, and there's a great stone at the mouth of a well. And they can't get it. They need the water. They want to feed their flock. Yaakov arrives the day, right? It's still the middle of the day. So he asks the shepherd, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Why are you wasting the time? They said, what do you mean? This is a heavy stone. We can't remove it. And guess what happens? Yaakov sees Rachel and he's like, hey, you want to see what I can do? I learned in Shem Ve'ever for so many years. Look, I'm so strong. And he lifts the stone that was too heavy for the three shepherds to lift. Pretty amazing. There is a beautiful idea. Rashi says he lifted it like a cork off a thing. I remember Charlie Harari said this vort over every year that I was there. It was always around this parsha. So there's always like walks around a bunch of yeshiva guys stopping. They go, give us a vort, give us a vort. So he loves this vort. It's a beautiful idea. I don't remember who it was from. I think Rav Matzial Salman, if I'm not mistaken. And he said, who is this Yaakov? He's in Shem Ve'ever for 14 years. Well, he's bench pressing every day? What is he doing? Who is this? The guy's in the weight room? I don't know if you know this. I think it was last week. The yeshiva had like a gibush day with the rabbeim when you guys were on a trip. So one of the things is they brought in a personal trainer and they gave they went into our weight room and introduced all the rabbeim who don't think that exercise is important, including myself, right, into what's the weight room? You know, what are these weights for? Oh yeah, this is the thing I used to hold the door open. You know, like, what is this? Yaakov Avinu. So the answer that's given is that it proves that if you have something in your mind to do, you can always accomplish it. That's a tremendous, tremendous lesson for a person to have, right? My wife just did something that we're not familiar with. She did we know what Facebook Live is, but there's this thing called Instagram, right? Cracker? Instagram Cracker? So she doesn't have Instagram, Baruch Hashem, I don't either. And senior's 95, 25 years since Yeshiva Flatbush, so they wanted to do an interview of who she was. And you guys know this meaningful people, you know, this thing, it's a great thing to learn about people. Rav Judah Michelle once said a great word. He said that, you know, everybody has a meaningful story, right? If I interviewed anybody here and you started to tell me a story, most probably not the most boring people in the world, you have a great story. And my wife has a great story. But one of the things that they spoke about is my amazing father-in-law. Hashem should send him a refuah shleima tzvi ben Pesha. So my father-in-law helped so many people. And the two people that were interviewing her, who were from her class, said, you know, we didn't get into Yeshiva Flatbush High School, right? One of them said they failed the BJEs. They said, but your father sat with us. He was the head of the psychology department, and he was the one who interviewed you when you came in. And he said, you really want to come to the school? If you really want to come to the school, I'll get you in. If you have a dream, my wife wanted to go to physical therapy school, except in order to get into Hunter, you needed to have a 4.0 average. And even with that, you didn't get that. My father-in-law said, try it. Try to get in. When you don't get in, then we'll do that other plans. So that's Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu had said, no, I want to do something. I'm going to try. At least let me try. I'll break my back trying. I'll do it. It's a very important lesson. That's not actually the lesson that I wanted to say. So Rav Aaron quotes the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah, amazingly, and this is amazing, this is relatively new, the article put out the Medrash Rabbah. So the Medrash Rabbah says, Vayisa Yaakov is Raglov, and he goes, Vayar, hinei charim basadeh. So he says, Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, patar bei Shitron. Rav Chaninya ben Rav Chama bar Chaninya interpreted six explanations of what happened in this story. Why the dafka there were six in different rows of three, v'chula, v'chula, what? So he gave six explanations of what the principle, what's going on over here, what's the narrative, right? Not the pshat, which we understand what the pshat is, but more on a midrashic level. Different versions of the prophecy that Yaakov had. So Rav Aaron relates three of them, really two of them, that seem to conflict with each other, which often midrashim do. Here is the first one. He saw and behold in the field, this is the shul. From there, what comes from the waters of the flock? That's Torah. And the stone was great. What's the stone, says the Medrash? This is a symbolic idea. The shul was what was covered by the Evan, the Yetzirah. The shul is where we get, especially outside in Chutz Laretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's where we get our nourishment spiritually from everything. Everything around us is crazy. The shul has everything. It's got the shurim every week. It's got the tishes. It's got the onegs. It's got the kids' events. It's got everything. But the Yetzirah was blocking it, says the Medrash. Zewa Yetzirah, Yosifu Shama, a dream. And what happened over there? Who was there? All of the shepherds. And they couldn't get it off because they said it's too hard. They were complaining. The Jews who gather in a shul, says Rav Aaron, is the fount of knowledge. It's the oasis of learning. It's the stream of life. It's the source of courage and fortitude. The holy human flocks would gather to drink the pure water of the shul. The Rav of the shul, the assistant Rav, the holy people, the Vasikin minyan that's in that shul. It's a connection that you have. But the Yetzihara in man's heart blocks the spirituality of the waters of Torah. What does it tell you? No, it's COVID. Go to the outdoor minyan. Again, please don't misunderstand me. People that have to go still, I get it. And if there's a doctor that says medically, you should... But I'm talking about the people who are making excuses. I spoke to somebody this week. There's still a minyan in our community that's outside. Not, there's actually one in Mishkan Shiloh that has an outdoor minyan, which 100% the Rav says for certain people who need it. Please don't get me wrong. I get it. This guy said, I couldn't believe he said it. He said, yeah, I have a minyan on my block. 7 o'clock Meyerav, you should come. He was at Meyerav in the shul with us. And I said, what? He goes, I'm kidding. He says, well, enough already. Let's go. Come on. And we all, I'm guilty of this too. I have a minyan of Motzei Shabbos in my neighbor's house. Why are the shepherds reluctant to roll off the heavy boulder? Because they can't reach the challenge of the time. In Eretz Yisrael now, there's a historic event that's happening in front of our eyes, which you may not realize being American. There is a government now that is trying to put into effect many different changes that they think will help Judaism. One of them is reforming kashrus, reforming geirus, reforming everything that is Jewish. And when they interviewed one of the biggest adversaries against the Haredim, Lieberman, who just raised by 50%, for example, the prices of all plastic goods. This is very hush of this cup now. I don't know if they'll pay me. Maybe you could only get a can of soda, not the cup. Right? They have like these now cute videos about, you know, this guy gets robbed and he goes into his house and he's like, oh my God, they took my TV, they took everything. I don't care about that. And he opens the safe, he goes, thank God, it's still here. They didn't get to the safe. And the safe has all these plastic products. And, you know, it's got the forks and the knives. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Right? So they say it does affects Haredim because Haredim use it a lot. And he says, we need reform. I can't sit with the Haredim because I want them to have jobs. I want them to be part of society. And it's scary what's going on. And some of the great religious Zionists are also speaking out against this. Not a Haredi thing and saying, I don't know if you want to reform kashrus the way you think. It's actually going to cost more money when you reform kashrus the way you think you're going to do it. And allowing restaurants to be open Shabbos but still could have hashgacha because the food is kosher. So in any case, Yaakov sees the well of Judaism and he's not dismayed. He says, times do change. And yes, psakim do change with time. We had this whole thing called COVID where you guys learned probably new halachos you never even knew existed. That doesn't mean that then you keep those halachas forever and say, well, they allowed us to daven here like this and this way and that way, so why can't we still do it? The sun has not yet set on Torah and the way of Torah living. Yes, it's hard. It's a heavy stone. It's not easy. It's antiquated. It's amazing. It's weird. It's different. It's not the way society wants things done because everything's like this. Give it to me now. Give, 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 give. I don't spoon feed it to me, Rebbe. Right? You put your feet up on the chair and you say, Art Scroll, teach me Torah. Rebbe, teach me Torah. Come on now. There's a Rav, a very, very famous Rav, who told me a story once. It's not a joke. He said he came into a shir once, and there's a zach that people like to tape the shir, which is a nice thing. They want to listen to it later. He said, by the end of all the people put their recorders in, I looked up, and there was nobody in the shir anymore. Everybody went. They left. He said, well, we'll come later. So listen to the shir when we want to, and we could listen to it on 1.5, or if they're lucky, 2. And the shir sounds like this, but do you think you really listen to anything? And he's like, well, I listened to 6 shirim today. They're all on 2.0, you know? In 5 minutes, I listened to them. There is a Yetzirah. It's stronger than ever. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The only way that the Yetzirah can be removed, says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, how do we get this? The answer to the question is actually found in the second part of the Medrash over here, which seems to very much disagree with the first part of the Medrash. This is Pinchas of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, that he's able to see it. And he says like this. Second part of the Medrash. Vayar vehine be'er zeh Sinai. You know what the be'er is? That's Har Sinai. Vehine sham shlosha idrei son koinim levim v'yisraelim. The three flocks are Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael. With the waters of the flock, they came from getting the Ten Commandments, which is interesting because the footnotes over here points out that's not the way it was on Har Sinai. There was no such thing as Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael, but okay. The stone upon the mouth is the Shechina itself. The Shechina itself. Pretty crazy. He quotes here the idea also of the Bear of Miriam, something going on over here. The first interpretation says that what's the top not holding it is the Yetzihara. And this Medrash says it's the Shechina. You can't have more diametrically opposed ideas than these two things. So says Rav Aaron like this. We know the famous pasuk in Bereishis Vayera Lakim as Kol Asher Asa Vihine Tov Ma'od. Right? Hashem said, he didn't say it was good. It was very good. Very good. The Medrash says on this pasuk, it was very good. Ze yetzer hatov, ze yetzer hara. Very good is two, lashon of two. Because the natural instincts of man are not necessarily for evil. While we have a yetzer hara, we have evil inclinations, as they're called. And it could lead to terrible things, and you could look at a person and say, I cannot believe you're from. I'll just give you an example of this. I was on the elevator in Osherad, after spending like 16 hours there, you know, and I got a space on the elevator, and as I'm putting my card in, this little kid, Haredi kid, looks like he pressed the button, looked like he closed the door on me. I almost didn't get in. And I looked at him, and I didn't even say anything. I'm like, ma? And I couldn't believe what came out of his mouth. He started cursing me out. I was about to like burst. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Clearly this kid must have how could a kid talk like that? The Yetzirah is inside of it. He happened to be, then I realized as I looked a little bit closer, he had special needs, and I didn't say a word then. What does this medrash mean? Sometimes we fall into that. We don't talk appropriately. We don't say things. B'chol levavcha, shnei Yetzirah, the Gemara in Brachos tells us. B'chol levavcha, in all your hearts, because we have two hearts, Kilo. A heart of good and a heart of bad. The Rambam, Mishnah Torah, is divided into Yad Chazaka, 14. Each of them has a different section Sefer Kedusha, you would assume, deals with spiritual matters. Sanctity matters. So, why does it talk about what I'm not allowed to eat? Kedusha talks about forbidden foods, forbidden relationships. You know why? Because sanctity in Judaism is even on the mundane things. We as a religion believe that the fundamental fact is the Rabbanu Shalom wants us to be regular people. Live in regular society, but be holy. Take a food and say, no, I can't have a cheeseburger. I can have a burger, and I can have cheese, but not together. This relationship is actually not usher, but only be kedusha. I'm going to do something called kedushin, and I'm going to take actually wine, which could be used for terrible things, and show what kedusha is. Therefore, Rav Aaron says the two midrashim are not soyser each other. There is a Yetzihara, but the Yetzihara is the Shechina testing us. Don't be impeded by Torah thoughts of negativity. Who am I? How can I accomplish anything? I can't even learn a piece of Gemara. And now we understand what is going on over here. Torah's idea is Tov Ma'od. The Torah takes both the Yetzirah, both my evil inclination that told me this morning not to wake up because it's Sunday morning in America. Sunday is fun day. So what am I spending a whole day learning for? Are you crazy? That's Hashem's design. And just parenthetically, by the way, the third Medrash Rav Aaron quotes is a perfect segue to you guys. Again, just to sum up what we're trying to say. The Yetzihara Hainu Hach is the message from the Rabbanu Shalom. When you have a challenge, Rabbanu Shalom says, that's me, I'm here. Maybe if you have that challenge, you'll be able to teach people better. I say this all the time about myself. I had a big challenge in my life. I'm not making fun of Hafter now. But I went to Hafter. What do you mean by a challenge? Not everybody believed in me. I have amazing parents, specifically my mother, who said, no, push. You can do it. And I told you the story about that teacher in Hafter who was there when I recruited for Leva Torah, who when I met her, she knew exactly, oh my God, I can't believe it. And she started laughing. You were a rabbi? How did you become a rabbi? It's impossible. What, you get on the internet? Can you imagine? I want to punch her in the face. But I couldn't because I'm a rabbi. It's crazy. Because she didn't believe in me. Hashem put you in the challenges so that maybe you could teach others better. I said in this morning's lesson from the Lev, the word from my son, from Yaakov, who says, that's why Rivka was put in the... All these years, she's saying, why did I grow up in a family with Besuel and love and terrible? It made her into understanding who an Esav was, who her husband didn't understand. And the last part of the Medrash is so beautiful. Vihine, another interpretation of the sixth interpretation, Be'er Zeh HaSanhedrin. It's the Sanhedrin, the three flocks are surrounding around the three rows of scholars. Says Rav Aaron, Sanhedrin in our days, we don't have a Sanhedrin, we have a yeshiva. And in fact, the Rambam calls the Sanhedrin the Rosh Yeshiva. We need that connection with our Rebbeim. We have become Hasidic yeshivas, it's fine. What do I mean by that? We want connections. Yeshiva students need to have connections with their Rebbeim. Alumni need to reach out to their Rebbeim. And keep that kesher going. Even if they're out of yeshiva 3, 4, 5 years and they're not married yet. They think to themselves, they want to build a house. Who are they going to, who's their Rebbe? Reach out to them. The association between yeshiva and their former students is called the Rebbe-Talmud relationship. And that's the Medrash is talking about. Don't think to yourself, oh, they don't want to talk to me anymore. They don't care anymore. No. Rabbi, we fall into the trap sometimes of thinking that Judaism is a checklist. It's a vending machine. I put my 6 shekel in and I get this delicious free Coke Zero. That's what I think Judaism is. I go to davening sometimes. What are you doing? It's a divine connection the Rabbanu Shalom gave us. We're so lucky. We're so fortunate. And there is a Yetzirah that tells us not to wake up in the morning. And there's a Yetzirah with the guy next to us who may actually even be in our shir. And says, dude, heard what happened last night? Heard about the new guy in Shear doesn't come? Heard Rav Hartstein's funny message? You're in the middle of davening. It's hard to say that. It's hard to stop a person in the middle of talking Lashon Hara. It's hard. But I'm plowing through it. You want to review Shir during lunch, and a friend of yours says, hey, come on, man, I'm going, I'm going to visit my friends. No. I'm set out to do this. We should be zeicha to get these messages because they're so very important, Rabbi Yisai. So very important. Keep our connections with our Rebbein because that's our spirituality. That's the Be'er Mayim Chayim of the Torah, the people that are still here. Get those relationships. If you don't have them now, keep the relationships. Your Rebbein want to talk to you. We should be zeicha to get these messages as important as they are. They're so very important. And understand that the Baruch Shalom invented us with the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah will try to tell us not to go to shul, not to do this, not to do that. But we are not checklist Jews. We're real Jews who have real challenges. But that's the Ribbono Shel Olam Misave. He loves when we are able to accomplish those challenges, accomplish the Yetzer Hara, because that brings us even closer to really who we're supposed to be. And of course, that brings the Geula Shleima closer. We should be zeichet to see it. B'mehir v'yameinu, amen.